I'd have thought you were crazy to think that, or I was crazy to think that. This has just all been, you know, I guess it's my life, so I'm living it, and it feels very natural and normal just because, you know, I wake up every day, and I feel very much the same as I did when I walked in here 18 years ago. I really do. And it's a great privilege to play here, and great privilege to play in the NFL. And I try to represent the team well. I try to represent my family. I try to do things the right way. And I'm very blessed. So could never imagine getting, you know, the kind of, you know, team achievements we've done and had. I mean, I don't think anyone can ever take those for granted. These are pretty amazing times for all of us. Fans included, players, coaches, everyone. It's very special.
That Tom Brady knows just what to say. The perfect things at the perfect time. I don't know why there are all these haters. I don't get it.
I love the Sam Benyanovich. I love the long quote. The long, it seems like it's over, but it's going to keep going about how great I am.
When he said, I wake up every day.
He didn't say he's great.
He did.
I was waiting for the Ricky Bobby quote. When I wake up every day, I do.
He said he was blessed. You know what? And he has a great family.
I bleep excellence. That's what I was waiting for.
He kind of does, by the way.
He does.
I mean, he's already the greatest of all time, and now he's just showing off.
Anna, you have to remember, I'm in the middle on this.
Because I sat on the couch this yesterday with a bunch of family friends, and we were watching the games, and there were so many Brady haters in the room, and many people thought during that game that the reign was over. That, okay, here's the 40-year-old who says he's still good, in good shape, but he's showing up with the 13 stitches on his thumb, and that... A couple of key players were not in the game, and this is over. It's done.
Well, I'm sure Lou Kanellis will agree. He had some help from the Zebras in the game.
Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. Stop.
How are you, Lou?
You know what, Anna? You're right. Anna, the guy's the greatest of all time. G-O-H-E. And those haters out there just have to live with it. You know what? The Jags thought they had him down in the fourth quarter. The Falcons thought they had him down last year in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. The Seahawks 3 years ago thought they had him down in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. The guy just keeps coming back. What is there not to like about this guy?
Exactly.
Well, I bet against him in all those games you just rattled off. So there's a start.
Like
there's a start.
Now
thanks.
We're talking, Ro. That's what I love about
my favorite social media post about it. And I went through a lot of them being a Tom Brady lover. Turns out Tom Brady's hand injury was really just a surgical procedure to add another finger for his sixth Super Bowl ring. Because it's never been done before, right?
Well, I want to ask you, Lou.
Michael Jordan has six.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, NFL. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you just about, when you talk about the greatness of the Patriots, you're of course talking about Tom Brady, but you also have to talk about the coaching staff there. A lot of their coaches are going to be head coaches next year. But what is it about this team that they're well prepared? They don't make penalties on the field. They find themselves in situations to execute when it counts. What about this team makes them so much better than the rest of the NFL?
Bill Belichick. I mean, really, that's the one guy that you can point to. He is the one. He and Brady are the two consistents throughout this dynasty run that they've had of, you know, going to the Super Bowl 8 times and on the verge of possibly winning their 6th. It's, you know, Belichick is just the greatest motivator, the greatest head coach of all time. And I never had the chance to see or listen to Vince Lombardi nor George Halas. But when you see the way he handles today's players, hey, listen, and I thought Brady was incredibly reflective on his career yesterday. We just heard that long soundbite that you guys ran. And
I didn't think it was long enough, actually. I thought you could have gone a little bit longer. But go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
You're right, Anna. But his world's going to change with the Patriots after this season. They're going to lose their offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. They're going to lose their defensive coordinator, who's going to take the job in Detroit. And now let's see. And they always lose players. I mean, they're always moving players in and out. But now they're going to lose the two leaders on offense and defense, coaching-wise. Can they do it again? And now Brady will be 41 next year. That'll be the true question. And I'm not sure even Brady thinks that it can happen again. But it happened this season. It happened last year, you know, despite the 4-game suspension. And the guy just keeps sticking. And I think it's a match made in heaven, Belichick and Brady. And when I see Chuck E. Cheese get $100 million from the Raiders, I sit and scratch my head like I'm sure Bill Belichick did and said, wait a second, how is he getting $100 million and I'm not after what I've done?
Sweet Lou, I have a question for you. It's Sammy P here. You have talked about this on The Final Word. I actually watched you last night with Rosner, and I love the nuts or not nuts segment you guys do. It's incredible. The Tom Brady, the length, how much longer can he go? Can he really play 5 more years? That's what he says. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I really don't, Sammy. I think he's probably got – I think next year will be telling. I think if he gets his teeth kicked in because of the new coordinators that they'll have in New England, I think at some point – and I can't wait for Facebook to release. You guys, I think, Anna, you touched on it, this video that they're putting out, this – I don't know what to call it, documentary on Tom Brady and his wife Giselle and their kids and the family life that they lead. Have you guys seen previews of it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. And yeah, and I think at some point he's going to decide, you know what, it's time to be a father and to step away from the game, and what else can I do? He makes it look so easy, so effortless out there. If he wins again in 2 weeks against Philadelphia, what's left for the guy?
Right. Well, it's a definition of intangibles.
He's the ultimate team. Here's the other reason why I don't understand the haters, other than you just hate a guy that continuously wins. He is the most giving guy in the franchise. Every year, he cuts the salary. He's always giving back $4 or $5 million of his salary so they can go out and get more free agents, so they can make their team better. I mean, what can you? How do you not like that type of guy? He's such a team guy. You listen. I talked to Rob Ninkovich, who, you know, obviously was a Lincoln Way kid that was from the Chicagoland area that played with the Patriots for 7, 8, 9 years. And he talked about how Brady and he were, they had lockers next to each other. And he asked Tom one time about the watch that he was wearing. And like 2 days later, the watch was in Ninkovich's locker. And Brady had bought it for him and said, listen, I went out and picked one up for you. And the guy's like, I didn't ask for you to buy me the $5,000 watch, but that's just the type of guy he is. And he keeps himself in great shape, and he keeps himself out of trouble. He's a great example for all those kids coming up, especially a guy like Mitch Trubisky, who's a franchise quarterback in this town. Let's hope he can be. I mean, no one will be Brady, but I just hope that the kid follows in the footsteps and, you know, takes care of himself and keeps himself out of trouble like Tom Brady has. Mm-hmm.
Let's switch to who the Patriots are going to be playing. Of course, the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw former Chicago Bear Alshon Jeffrey, who had promised, he had said he was going to play in the Super Bowl. He's here. Unfortunately, it's not with the Bears. It was hard for Bears fans to watch and swallow, a successful, if not MVP-like performance for Alshon Jeffrey yesterday. What does it say for the Philadelphia Eagles that he was on the field and he was productive? And what's it say for the Bears that have had such trouble at that position?
Well, here, I'm not going to knock the Bears for letting him go. I thought that Alshon, and I give you guys a quick story. You know that I have a place in Chicago, a bar, and about 3 weeks ago I was sitting at this bar restaurant that I have.
You can say the name.
This woman.
Reverie. Great place.
And a woman came up to me, and she introduced herself, and she said, I'm Alshon Jeffrey's fiance. And she said, I just wanted to say hello. I know you've always been welcoming to Alshon and I when we were in town, and I'm back in town for the holidays. Mm-hmm. They actually had her birthday party there. And I said, hey, how's life out there? Are you guys enjoying it? And she goes, we never thought it would be so great. They've been so warm, so welcoming, and he's so happy. And obviously the 4-year, $52 million deal made him even happier. But she said, you know, that I said, I'm so happy to see you there. She goes, I know that you don't like him. I know that you don't think he's very good. And I said, where did you come up with that? And she said, oh, no, my friends tell me they watch you on The Final Word and they see you on TV, rip Alshon. And I said, I've never criticized the guy ever. I just didn't think that Chicago was getting the most out of Alshon Jeffrey. And that's really my answer to you guys.
Agreed.
I thought that his time here in Chicago was up. It was time to go to another organization. He signed a 1-year deal. He could have gotten more money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And he figured that, listen, I'll fit into the offense better in Philadelphia than anywhere else. And sure enough, he did. And he's flourished. And it doesn't mean, see, sometimes people get caught up in the numbers and they think, well, God, if the guy doesn't have 95 catches for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns, that he's having an awful season or he's not an all-pro. Not true. Alshon Jeffrey didn't even have 1,000 yards in catches this season. but he fit perfectly into the offense they ran in Philadelphia. Now, and that's why they gave him the big money.
Lou, it's interesting to watch both teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl have outstanding wide receiver play. The New England Patriots went out and got Brandon Cooks. The Eagles went out and got Alshon Jeffrey. They've drafted in those positions. You've seen Aguilar on the Eagles. I think it was a first or second round pick. There seems to be investment, and it doubles down on the fact that if the Bears are going to be successful, they have to address that position in the offseason.
Well, they know that. I mean, listen, no one knows better about wide receiver than Ryan Pace does right now. And let's be honest here. I haven't been on since, you know, they went out and hired Matt Nagy and brought back Vic Fangio and hired all the new coaches. Number 10 will determine whether Ryan Pace is still general manager of this organization in 5 years. Everyone's job is dependent on Mitchell Trubisky. Everyone. If he fails, they will all fail. If he succeeds, guess what? They're all going to be around a long time, and we're going to be playing in the playoffs pretty darn soon. So, to make Mitch Trubisky better, you go out and you hire an offensive coordinator like they did in Helfrich, who brings a creative mind after watching that Oregon offense. I think we all know what we're talking about. You bring in a head coach in Matt Nagy, who was a quarterback's coach at first, learned under one of the great offensive minds in the game in Andy Reid, and now, you know, after spending the last couple seasons as offensive coordinator in Kansas City and turning Alex Smith into having his best career year this past season and doing what he did, what they're doing is they've put the teachers around Mitchell to make sure that he has the great guys that'll teach him how to play the position. Now you got to get him. You have to get him the wide receivers. You have to get him the playmakers was what I'm going for. And no one was happier. I don't know if you guys caught this last week, but Jarvis Landry, wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, came out last week, and he said he's not happy with the way contract negotiations are going with the Dolphins. I couldn't be happier, and I hope Miami lets him go because he led the league in catches, and the Bears will have a ton of money to spend in free agency, and I would love for them to go out and they're going to have to overspend just like Jacksonville did. The reason Jacksonville played on Championship Sunday is because they overspent the last 2 years and drafted amongst the top 10 in the last decade. You got to overspend when you're this low on the totem pole, and the Bears will overspend on free agency at key positions. Not at every position, at key positions, like wide receiver.
Yeah, there's guys out there, Jarvis Landry, Marquise Lee, Sammy Watkins, Terrell Pryor, Jordan Matthews. There are guys out there they can pay at receiver.
What do you think? Quickly, though, Luke, because we're running out of time here. Do you think next year will be, should we already see some real success with these Bears, or do you look at that as another rebuilding year since you're putting so many new pieces together?
How many wins does Anna DeVlantis define real success?
Well, I think all of us would like to see a winning season. Let's start there, and maybe even a possibility to come close to being considered a playoff team, right? I mean, I don't think that happens. But
3 wins. Eight wins?
Yeah, I think so.
8 wins. I think that's a reasonable goal. I said it last night. You saw it, Sammy, if you lost the final word. I don't care what they do in free agency. I don't care if they go out and sign Jarvis Landry. The best signing the Bears made was bringing back Vic Fangio. All right? It gives them stability on defense. Matt Nagy, in his first head coaching job, doesn't have to worry about the defense. He's got one of the best D coordinators around to run that side of his team. So I think we're already on the right track. I think 8 wins are viable. And I said it last night. You saw it on Nuts or Not Nuts, Sam. I said, am I nuts to think that why can't the Bears go from worst to first next season?
Ooh, really?
Agreed.
In the division?
Yep.
Okay.
In the division.
Yep.
Which gets them in the playoffs.
Well, you're not nuts. We know that about
that
you,
logic,
Lou. You're a very logical guy, and we love you. And thank you for taking the time
you,
out
Anna.
Of your busy day for us here
we'll
on
you at
WGN.
Reverie.
We'll see you at Reverie.
Never
did we say it enough?
For you guys. Yeah, I'll see you at Reverie. Absolutely.
Thanks, Lou. We're going to check in now with Judy Pilek, see what's coming up in her news at the bottom of the hour.